Welcome to the TFT Performance Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Sullivan, and this is the show where we break down popular science into easily digestible and actionable information to give you the blueprint to be a high performer in your life. Today, I'm joined by TFT Performance Dietitian Jack Doherty, and we're talking about a practice that every combat athlete should be using as part of their training, and that is heat acclimation. We discuss what heat acclimation is, the science of it, how it applies to fighters, and we discuss how we have used it in our very own practice with the best fighters in the world. Let's get to it.
Don't laugh.
All right, welcome to another episode of the TFT Performance Podcast. I'm getting in a bad habit of just throwing the guys under the bus and just starting these podcasts mid-conversation, but we're back for another one. I'm joined by TFT Senior Performance Dietitian Jack Doherty, and we're going to be covering a topic that in my weekly Q&As, I get at least 20 questions about this topic, and rightfully so. It's about heat acclimation, and we're going to explain exactly what it is, the science behind it, and how we do it. I was actually talking to Dr. Oliver Barley the other day, the guy who works out of Edith Cowan Uni, who gave me this idea years ago when we spoke about it on the Fight Science podcast. And even Dr. Barley was saying, you know what, I think heat acclimation is probably my biggest contribution to this field, purely because of what we've put out to our combat athletes about it and the success we found with it. And I feel like it in the last 18 months, 2 years or so, since we started talking about, at least in the combat sports community, it's really taken off. If you look at other fields of sport, especially endurance sports where they're traveling all over the world, heat acclimation is not a new thing. Like, heat acclimation has been around for a long, long time, and athletes have seen the benefit. It's just very interesting and nuanced when we talk about cutting weight and how you apply it in terms of making weight, and then what the actual benefits are, and then how to do it. But before we get going, let's just go back to the basics. I'll get Jack to intro it and just tell us, what is heat acclimation?
Hello, everyone. Well, heat acclimation on the most basic level is repeated exposures to heat stress within a certain amount of time. So basically what that is that heat acclimation occurs when you repeatedly expose yourself to a certain heat, which is stressful enough to invoke elevation of your core temperature and make you basically sweat. In terms of, you know, heat acclimation, in terms of like how to do it and so forth like that, but it's the magnitude of it depends on how often you do it, the frequency, the duration, time, and number of exposures.
Yeah, so we'll break it down. We'll go step by step. But I think the very first point to make here is that when you talk about heat acclimation, there is no one best exposure. Like, a lot of people talk about this, and I think Dr. Rhonda Patrick has done really good work in putting out things about, you know, saunas and whatnot. Dr. Andrew Huberman talks about the benefits of saunas. But again, you've got to be very careful when you get lost, to not get lost in the details when you talk about these things. When we're talking about heat acclimation, there's a physiological response that we want. Like Jack said, we want to get an increase in our core body temperature, and we want repeated exposures of that over a certain period of time. You can get that increase in core body temperature, whether you want to use a sauna or whether you want to use a hot bath. And we'll talk about why we prefer our athletes to use a hot bath. And you see this in the endurance space, especially now. There's a lot of good evidence coming out where endurance athletes will complete their workouts and then go in a hot bath after for their heat acclimation, as opposed to a sauna. So we'll talk about that, but Jack, go through the actual physiology. Everyone listening is pretty familiar with the physiology of sweating. And obviously, as our body heats up, our core body temperature increases. As a response to that, our body puts sweat and moves fluid from our blood onto our skin. It's the evaporation of that sweat over millions of sweat glands on our body that cools and cools down that core body temperature. But talk to us about, okay, well, what's actually going on when we're going through this heat acclimation, and why is it beneficial?
So in terms of why it's so beneficial, why we're so adamant about athletes doing it, is that over a certain time period, if you do this enough and frequently enough, basically what it does is it induces improvements in sweat and skin blood flow, fluid balance, cardiovascular stability, and also what I think is one of the most important things is thermal tolerance. What I mean by thermal tolerance is that you get used to being in that hot environment, where that's both physiologically and psychologically. So, and your body's getting used to being in that environment, so you can actually be in that environment for a longer period of time. But again, in terms of physiology, your body's becoming more efficient at being in that environment. So again, when you're in a hot environment, you start to sweat to cool yourself off, as you said, with that evaporation. With the evaporation of your sweat, your body cools. So what happens is your body gets used to being in that environment, so you become a more efficient sweater. So your blood flow increases to the skin, which allows you to sweat more, you evaporate, and you cool down a lot quicker.
Yeah, three things that I say to all of our athletes that are doing this, especially when we're talking about using this for weight cutting. The first thing that is going to be hugely favorable that happens is your body gets better at sweating. Like same as when you go to the gym and you run on a treadmill or you lift weights, you get better at running or you get stronger and can lift more. The more you're in that heat, the better your body gets at sweating, and we get what's called a faster onset of sweat. So your body will actually start sweating sooner when you're exposed to that heat. And that's a sign that's becoming more efficient at dissipating that heat. The second thing that's really important that it goes through is that you'll actually sweat more for the same given time period, which makes sense because your body is getting more efficient at cooling. So the more that you sweat and you can evaporate that heat off your body, you're going to cool faster. So you lose more sweat for less period of time. And the third thing that's really important is it actually changes the composition of the sweat itself. You actually lose less sodium, which is the main electrolyte that regulates fluid balance in our body. You lose less sodium per liter of sweat, which means when it comes to weight cutting, it's going to be less sodium we have to replace. It means that your body's natural fluid balance isn't going to be as disturbed. So those three things are hugely, hugely beneficial in the context of cutting weight.
Yeah. Like basically you become like heat acclimation enhances thermoregulation of the body. So obviously, as you said, you're a more efficient sweater. And I think one of the most important things is that we found that you begin to, after you obviously hit acclimated, you begin to sweat at lower core temperatures. So basically you don't have to heat yourself up as dramatically as say other people who aren't to get that onset of sweating, which again will result in things like, decreased heart rate, thermal tolerance will be a lot higher. Again, all positive things when it comes to, being able to cut weight, in the most safest possible and in the most comfortable possible way.
Yeah, they're the physiological benefits, but I think by far and large, the biggest benefit that you're going to get out of this is psychological, and that is becoming familiar with this process. And this is the biggest bit of feedback we get from all our athletes. So if we know we're going to cut weight in the bath on fight week, we get our athletes to do this the start of fight camp. We get them to put aside one night each week or two nights if possible. And then they go through, they mentally rehearse the process of cutting weight. The same as what I tell them, hey, you every week, once or twice a week, you're sparring and you're working on your game plan to get ready for that fight. The weight cut is a big, big, big part of this preparation. We need to rehearse this weight cut. You need to be very familiar with the steps. You need to be familiar with what it feels like when you get in that bath. You need to be familiar with these timings. You need to be familiar with how much you're sweating for a certain period of time. So when we get all that information together, we can compile a game plan. So when it comes to that weight cut day, there's no guesswork. We know that if we put you in this bath temperature at this temperature for this amount of time, we should lose this much weight. Therefore, overall, we're going to be cutting weight for this much time period, and then we're going to be done. That plans out the whole weight cut period, and it allows you to plan a way more efficient and effective rehydration and reload period as well.
Yeah, I think in recent, this is probably something like one concept or one thing that I really bang on with my clients about completing during fight camp. I think that, time and time again, especially probably over the last 12 months, I see the difference in athletes who undertake heat acclimation processes and ones who don't. And the difference on the day is absolutely dramatic, completely different. The guys who do this stuff regularly, they do it religiously, sometimes even in and out of camp. When it comes to the day of the cut, not only are they more mentally prepared, but I just feel like they physically also just deal with it a lot better. The feedback that I'm getting is that they're not feeling so stressed, not feeling so depleted. They're just so used to that environment, both psychologically and physically, that it just becomes an easier process. And, as we all know, that an easier cut, you feel better, you go into the scales, the rehydration is easier. You're just going to feel better on a fight day. And that's the whole thing. Like, obviously, you know, we bang on about the nutrition side of things, but in terms of for the weight manipulation component, I think this is so vital and something that a lot of people don't take as seriously as they should. But my guys who do take this seriously, do it religiously, are reaping the benefits massively.
Yeah, absolutely. So next question, let's talk about how do you actually do it? What does the science say for one? What does the research say for one? And then let's talk about what we actually do in practice with our athletes.
Well, in theory, it takes about 4 to 7 days of heat acclimation processes to reap some of the thermoregulation adaptations. But what they're saying is that basically to acquire some of the sweating adaptations, it's more so like after about 8 days. We do have a protocol that we use with our guys. Again, that's kind of a graded system, which we use over, depending how long the fight camp is, of course. You know, you start off with, firstly, I ask my athletes, you know, which modality they want to cut weight at. Obviously, we'll talk about this again a bit later. We always promote the use of the bath if possible. If they don't have access to a bath, obviously there's a sauna and so forth. So we find out what modality they're going to use and then gradually increase that throughout the week. So you start off, say, week one, we do maybe one or two sessions between maybe 10 to 15 minutes, if not less sometimes, at a certain temperature. So that's what the beginning is. You give them a certain, they get the modality, a time, a temperature, and you do that maybe once or twice a week. And then what we do is we gradually increase the frequency and also the time and maybe manipulate the heat or the modality throughout those weeks right up until fight week. And that can increase, we can keep it the same throughout the week, but basically making sure that's repeated exposures over a certain amount of time until the weight cut day.
Yeah, a lot of the research that you read, like Jack said, it's 4 to 6 days or even up to 8 days to get the sweating adaptation, but that's consecutive days, right? And when we think of this in terms of combat sport athletes getting ready for a fight, that's just not plausible. It's not plausible for you to do this. What's way more plausible is that you set aside maybe 1 or 2 days a week to do this. Dr. Oliver's team over at Edith Cowan Uni, what they did, they had 12 sessions that were 1.5 hours long. They obviously broke up in there. There was two really important things that are important here is that you can break up that 90 minutes and overall the time did not matter. Like he says, this was just a proof of concept study that it did actually do something beneficial, which it was shown. And the second thing was that you don't need to do this dehydrated. You absolutely do not do this dehydrated. You can go in there with room temperature water. We say room temperature water because if you're drinking cold water, it's obviously going to contribute to cooling your body and getting that temperature down. Drink some room temperature water while you're in there. Absolutely fine. You don't have to be dehydrated to get the benefits of this. Most importantly, you're probably not going to be in a position where you can do it 8 days straight. So what we do, pick 1 or 2 days, 2 max, I say for our guys, because then you've got too much things going on. You've got too many other things considering recovery, diet, actual training to be doing it more than twice a week. 1 or 2 days, and it's the progressive overload principle. Same as what you did when we were all in high school, wanted to get bigger biceps and a bigger chest. You progressive overload to a point where, okay, I'm feeling comfortable with a longer time period. Maybe you start, like Jack said, 15 minutes. You want to put the temperature of that bath at, say, 39 to 42 degrees. Don't go above 42, but work your way up to 42. Again, progressive overload principle. First session, 15 minutes. Second session might be 17, 18 minutes. Then you work up to 20, work up to 25. We've had guys work all the way up to 60 minutes. That's not over the course of 8 weeks, one camp. That's over the course of, say, 4, 5, 6 camps. We've been able to work our way up to that. Start small and do what's comfortable for you. I think, what are some of the red flags, Jack? Let's talk about if someone's doing this at home, and a lot of people will be, they'll be doing this at home, maybe unsupervised. What are some things that they can keep monitoring? Okay, if I'm feeling like this or feeling like that, how do I know I'm pushing the boundaries and I should get out of this bath and cool down and just stop?
I think one of the main ones which you see during the weight cut and stuff is the feeling of dizziness. So when you're changing postures, as we've seen a lot of times, that when you change postures, depending how much you've sweated and how long that time frame you've been in that hot environment for, the feeling of dizziness is something that, you know, is very common just from the changing of postures or just, you know, your heat tolerance at that time. So I think when you're just understanding how you're feeling in that moment, if you're starting to feel a bit, you know, woozy, a bit dizzy, that might be time to stop. Obviously, again, you're going to have an elevated heart rate in that environment. Obviously, it's a hot environment, you will be elevated heart rate. But if it starts to be too elevated or very high for too long, or you can kind of feel that palpitations and you kind of feel a bit overwhelmed, again, that's time to, you know, to maybe exit for that period of time. So I think the thing is mainly just your perceptions of tolerance for that heat. Again, this is a practice. This is not actually you killing yourself and doing an actual weight cut. Like Jordy said, you can drink water in there. It's just about getting used to the environment. You don't have to push yourself. So how you're, depending how you're feeling, if you need a break, take a break. It's not about being the hardest guy or the toughest guy in the heat acclimation area. It's about just doing it regularly. But again, listening to your body, listening to those feelings, like, you know, you're getting visual changes. Is your heart rate kind of palpitating to a bit too extremely? Do you feel feelings of nausea? These clear signs of overheating, clear signs of lack of thermal tolerance. Those kind of signs is a clear indication you need to take a break or just cease that heat acclimation session for that time. Again, there's a lot of different factors in there. I think it's very important that you don't enter like a sauna or a bath in a dehydrated state, especially in these times, which you're just basically in preparation or we're doing heat acclimation training. So making sure that you're not dehydrated. And or again, like Jordy said, make sure you can drink some room temperature water throughout that process again, because again, it's just about us getting used to the environment, making our body adapt to that environment. And that doesn't mean pushing it to the extreme.
Yeah, that's why we get our guys to start this first week of camp, because if you've never done a bath or you've never done this process, it can be overwhelming. Even if you don't have the bath that hot, if you have it at 38 degrees, you get in, you spend 10 minutes and there, can be really overwhelming. Thing is that it'll get easier. Your body will adapt mentally and physically. You will adapt to it, but know your limits. Like Jack said, this isn't a race. This isn't going live. And the last thing you want to do is go live in your actual weight cut and not have done any of this, and then experience that where the bath is too hot and it's overwhelming, and then just throws your entire weight cut off and it sets your whole pre-fight prep off on the wrong foot, and that could have disastrous consequences. So give yourself plenty of time to do this. It's not a race. It's not a competition, not a dick measuring comp where you can sit in the bath the longest. It's about being smart. It's about being intelligent, and it's about making a potentially very dangerous practice much safer. And that can be done if you get onto this heat acclimation much earlier than what most people are. So I think that pretty much covers most of it. Is there anything else we need to cover in terms of heat acclimation?
Well, this is a kind of analogy that I use to a lot of people. Like if you've ever traveled to Asia, like I just got back from Thailand, and it's still the principle of heat acclimation, just not in this modality, which is that obviously I train Muay Thai 5 to 6 days a week in Melbourne. You know, lots of pad work, lots of traditional Muay Thai training. I thought I was quite fit and healthy going over there. And I remember the first session I did when I was over there, I think within 15 minutes, I'm like, what is happening to me? I was hitting pads. I was like, I was dying. I was sweating profusely. I started feeling really lightheaded, dehydrated. I'm like, what is happening? And then I realized, again, going back to the heat acclimation, because I'm in a new environment, it's a complete different heat. It was the humidity, the heat was so much higher that my body wasn't used to that environment. Again, and then after about a week of training, I started feeling better. I get through the sessions easier. So when I tell people that, I'm like, everyone's traveled to Thailand or Bali, and if everyone's probably trained there, if you're a fighter or you're a competitive athlete, you've trained in these environments and you see the difference. So it's just the same concept. It's just like, you have to get used to a different environment. Like what you said with the podcast regarding elevation, your body has to get used to that. And again, if I was in Melbourne in summer and hot and I was training really hard, and then I went over to Thailand, same kind of heat, my body would be used to it. But we're going from, say, Melbourne, cold winter to summer, your body takes time to get used to it. It can take 8 days, it can take 14 days. And then what a big thing about the literature also is that they've found a very big individual component to this. So a lot of different people adapt differently. So we could do the same amount, like with anything, like with a diet, we could do the exact same thing, the exact same body weight, exact same body composition, but I might reap more benefits than you. I might have more adaptations in a short amount of time. You may take longer. So that's why I always tell guys, is just like, make sure you leave adequate time to implement this. Give yourself multiple weeks, again, so you're not having to push it. Just do this process slowly and intelligently, and you'll reap the benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if there's one simple thing that every single combat athlete can do right now to make weight cutting safer for themselves, it's heat acclimation. And everyone can do it, whether that's you going to the gym and using the sauna there, or whether it's you using the bath at home, whether it's you ordering a portable sauna, whether it's a sauna blanket, whatever it is, it's the heat exposure. You need to remember you're not doing this to thrash your body. You're doing it in a progressive overload to progressively increase the exposure to that heat. You can do it hydrated. And like Jack said, time is your best friend. The longer you do it for, the better. I think the very last thing I want to touch on before we wrap this up is why we prefer the guys do it in the bath and not the sauna. And the very simplest reason for that is when we look at those two processes as exposures to heat, when we're in the sauna, you need to appreciate the sauna is just a hot little box. And if you think about how your body physiologically sweats and the reason we're sweating to cool down. We're sweating. The ultimate goal of sweating is to evaporate that sweat off of your skin so your body cools. When we're in that little hot box that is a sauna, that just doesn't happen. We don't see evaporation. That's why you see guys pooling sweat or people getting credit cards and just wiping it off, because the skin is just flooded with this sweat and it's not evaporating. So yes, you're losing a lot of fluid and you're losing a lot of weight through the sweat, but you're also continually overheating because you're not cooling because it's not evaporating. When we look at the bath, it's a room with a bath where just the water is hot and the ambient air temperature around you is cooler, which creates a concentration gradient that is more favorable to evaporate that. Now, if you keep just your whole body and your head above it, you will still evaporate off your forehead, but you'll see a lot of our athletes, they put their arms out, they put their legs out, and we tell them to do this because that evaporation of the sweat off the skin is what cools the body. So instead of being in a sauna where your core body temperature is likely growing up, what's happening in the bath is that your core body temperature gets up to the point that it's sweating and we have better chance of controlling that and plateauing it, so you're not at risk of heat exhaustion, heat stroke, or any other heat-related illness, which is why we encourage all of our athletes, hey, if you're going to cut weight and you're going to do this and you're going to do this heat acclimation, do it in the bathtub.
Yeah, 100%. And I've also never had someone, an athlete, who's gone from using a sauna to a bath and ever say that the sauna was better.
Yeah, exactly. Portable saunas really quickly, or sauna blankets, really good as well, much better than a normal traditional sauna. Again, because you can put that in a room where the ambient air temperatures are much cooler. You can put parts of your body outside, which can allow that evaporation, which can allow you to control the overheating. So I want to finish on that. That's a very important point to make. But overall, I would say this is by far the most powerful and easily accessible practice that every single combat sport athlete should be doing right now.
100% agree.
And there it is, another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. This podcast will be available through the podcast app, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and if you follow along our socials at @_fightdietitian, you can see all of the best bits from our podcast episodes. Thanks for listening in. See you guys for the next episode of the TFD Performance Podcast.